the power of God for ourselves, it's in that moment that we lose all the glory and the power that God has given to us. And now this king is going to be helpless. Now he's going to have the threat of losing his own friend. He loses his authority when he exalts himself in pride. Now we find this in verse 8. He says, "Oh, now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing that it be not changed according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not." Oh, they knew part of their plan was to make sure it got written in that law book that couldn't be changed, because they knew that Darius would want to change it once they hatched the plan. But this now pits between this aspect of the unchangeable law of the Medes and the Persians and the God of Daniel chapter 2 is called the changer of the times and seasons. So which one is going to budge? We're going to find out. Verse 9 says, "Wherefore Darius signed the writing and the decree." Now, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being opened in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed, and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. It's interesting. It makes it very clear that it wasn't an accident. When Daniel knew, he purposely, in defiance of the king. You can say, "Come on, Daniel. You can pray in your house. You don't have to open up your windows. You don't have to be, It doesn't have to be seen. It doesn't have to be known. You could pray in your heart. He could be standing right there and we wouldn't even know he's praying, right?" There's a purpose for why he had to do it publicly. Because what was taking place was the stake of the honor of God. And if he quietly submitted to that law, he would have been acknowledging the wicked premise of the law, even if he had disobeyed in his heart. And so Daniel had to disobey because he wanted to demonstrate that God was God in his life. Interesting that this narrative illustrates the importance of prayer. It says here, what were they going to do? They were going to find against Daniel something concerning the law of his God. Wait a second. You remember the 11th commandment in the 10 commandments? Thou shalt pray. This is a part of the law of God? Prayer? Meaning if I don't pray, I break the law of God. This is the implication of this text for us, that prayer is a divine imperative. It's not a rescue plan. It's not a nice thing to fall back on. It's not something we do when we have time or when we feel like it. This is what we have to do to show God that He is God. And when we neglect to pray, we are basically saying, "God, you're not God for me." Who we depend upon, who we pray to, reflects our allegiance. And so what can we assume from the absence of prayer in our lives? If there's an absence of prayer, there is a presence of idolatry. Because God is no longer our God. We're worshiping something else. To cease to pray is to violate who God is. It does not bring him the glory. So in this, we find that prayer is an act of humility that acknowledges God's supremacy. And so we see the importance of prayer for us. And so we find that Daniel was compelled to pray. It was absolutely necessary, not because he needed something from God. Oftentimes that's the way we treat prayer. But because it was something that reflected who God was. Man, I tell you, this is convicting. Oh, we have got to be a praying people. This is how we demonstrate that God is our God. This is what it means. You can't walk with God. You can't have a relationship with Him apart from prayer. You know what God wants us to pray? He wants us to pray without ceasing. He wants us to have that ongoing fellowship with Him, by which we're constantly acknowledging in humility and walking with Him, day by day, moment by moment. Not only do we find that Daniel demonstrates the necessity of prayer, we also he reveals the basis of prayer. It says he opened in his chamber toward Jerusalem. Why was this? Because that's what Solomon prayed all the way back in 1 Kings chapter 8, that anybody who would pray towards this place, towards the house of God, which meant that the basis and the reason why my prayers were being heard was because there was a blood sacrifice that was taking place in that house. Now, in Daniel's day, that house was completely destroyed. But he still was understanding. I think there's an understanding in his heart that his prayer had to have a foundation. And that foundation ultimately was going to be the Lord Jesus Christ and His blood that would fulfill everything that the old temple symbolized. That's why Christians pray in Jesus' name. The only basis on which you and I can pray is not the direction of a certain city. It's the direction of a certain person. And we come before Him because He sits at the right hand of God Almighty. Not only find that He reveals the basis of prayer, but he also mimics Solomon's posture in prayer. He kneeled upon his knees. I find it fascinating that's nothing special about kneeling on your knees outside of the fact that it is a symbolic gesture that represents, I'm in submission to You, O God. I'm in humility to You. And it's that kind of submission that our Lord demonstrated in the garden. It says in Luke 22 that He fell upon His knees when He went to pray. Not my will, but thine be done. In fact, it's interesting how many times it talks about the apostles in the book of Acts. And then even in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14, Paul is talking about how he falls upon his knees in his prayers. And so there's an act of humility, of submission that is necessary. Our prayer. Not saying that we have to pray on our knees for God to hear us, but we ought to come. Even there's some that probably can't even get on their knees anymore, but there's a point of submission of heart that's absolutely necessary there. And then we see Him modeling the consistency of prayer. 3 times a day He prayed, just as He'd always done. Like David said, at the evening, in the morning, and at noon, I will pray. It's probably that scripture reference is what drove Daniel to have times, seasons, consistency in prayer. You know what they do on the... I've been tuning myself out from a lot of sports, but the only sport I'm watching right now is golf. Okay, I thought it was pretty boring for much of my life, but now I'm like, okay, all right. But I found out most of these guys, they've got all their little... They've got their putting routine and everything. They're doing all their stuff. And they're looking at their knees. This is always fun. They all got something different they do. But they do it every single time. And the commentator on there says, if you don't have a putting routine, it will make you a better player. Because what happens is, when you get under the pressure, if you've got a routine, it helps you not to think about the pressure. You just start thinking about, hey, I'm doing all my stuff. And I followed through with what I was supposed to do because I had a routine. And it helps them. You'll be a better golfer if you do that. You know what? You'll be able to stand for God in pressure if you have a routine. One commentator put it this way: consistency assists courage. Discipline feeds faithfulness. You and I, we need to set up a pattern. We need to be consistent in our walk with God, so when the pressure comes, we will not fall. We will keep going in the way that God has for us. And Daniel demonstrates this kind of consistency. All right, well, I guess we'll have to look and see how the plan unfolds. So he has defied the order. Oh, there's some men that are so happy that he has, and they're ready to have him thrown in the lion's den. We're going to see how God delivers him and the message God wants us to know about his future deliverance that he's going to give to his people. All right, you guys are dismissed.